Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
We are back. Welcome to the table. Today we're going to be going over Galatians 4, 5, and 6. So we'll finish off what we started last time and just keep our discussion and reading of Galatians going. So in chapter 4 says, and again, I'm in the Christian Standard Bible. That's, I'm just making sure that that's what this one is. That's what version I have. But it's so in chapter 4. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came for completion, God sent us his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn your back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I also became like you. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that I would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I am with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it was written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born as a result of the flesh, while the one by the free woman was born through promise. These things are being taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and bears the children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But in the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth, burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate woman will be many and more numerous than those of the woman who has a husband. Now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are the children of promise. But just as the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one as a result of the spirit, so also now. But what does the scripture say? Drive out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman. He was so knowledgeable, you know, to be able to throw... I mean, I know, obviously, I write a lot better than I speak, so I can understand that his letters might be, like, totally on point, because he's definitely thinking this through. But it makes so much sense when he puts it out like that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought to put the correlation with Hagar and Sarah, you know, like that. So it's like, this is what happens when you're following... you know, the world, but this is what happens when you're following God.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we still see it today. We still see that, still like that storyline is still true today over there. I mean,
yeah,
what they deal with on our whole lives and before both of all of us were born. Yeah, you know, it's been going on since that day.
You know,
it's go ahead. No, you go.
Oh,
go,
no,
go.
You
I'm
go
still
ahead.
Formulating my thought. No, I'm still formulating my thought. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, you know, it goes back to, you know, the promise came through Sarah, and that's what we live through is the promise and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, and the other is to follow just a law. And if we try to follow law without having Christ in us, then we're just going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. We are children of the free woman. And it's, for me, it just goes back to the, similar to what you're saying. We need to be followers of Christ because he fulfills that prophecy of what freedom actually means. We are free from man-made laws. And even the laws that the Lord put before the Jews and the Gentiles, mm-hmm. you know, before Jesus came. And it's simply because of the power that comes through Christ's death and life, death and resurrection. And it just really, like you said, it just strikes me beautifully, the idea of Sarah and Hagar and how it didn't hit me until now. That's why I'm rethinking it just now as we're talking about it, because didn't hit me that way when I read it earlier, you know?
It didn't hit me like that until I read it out loud just now, because I was like,
yeah.
I have it highlighted because I liked the correlation, but reading it out loud always
changes it.
It does. It always changes it, because then mm-hmm. you hear it. And they always say,
well, yes. I think it's also knowing what comes in chapter 5 too. Again, that the word freedom is probably a key factor for this book too. Mm-hmm. It's the freedom in Christ that we have in all things. But yes. Yeah.
And I like how the beginning of chapter 4 too, how it kind of, Paul's so good at just trying to put a picture in your head for you to really fully understand it, and how he's talking about how it was a guardian to us until Christ came. That's what we were supposed to use it for,
mm-hmm.
not to keep falling back to,
mm-hmm.
for it to cause strife between us.
Yep. I like that he does explain that, because it's, I bet you one of the main arguments was always, well, why was it good enough then, but now it's not good enough? Like, why do we need to change and they don't need to conform? You know, why? And I think that he hits it. He's like, that's because we didn't have the Holy Spirit down here to tell you what to do,
mm-hmm.
to guide you internally. And now you have that. So now you can, your flesh isn't as loud. You know, if the Holy Spirit's in you, your flesh is a little more quieted, or at least you know the difference, right? Or you can feel the difference.
Yeah.
But he explains that. I love it.
You can tell how much love Paul had as he writes, because he's mm-hmm. like, he just wants them to get it. It's like,
that's why he gets so mad. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know we all have that loved one in our lives who we just want to shake and like, you don't get it. You just don't get it. And no matter what we say, it just doesn't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
I mean, it's very much what a parent, I mean, I'm not a parent, I'm a professional aunt, but I watch parents as part of my job, you know. They're so passionate about their kids, right? And I know you guys are too. You want your kids to have the very best. You want them to be the greatest they can be. It's not about being the best at everything. They want them to be the best,
mm-hmm.
who they can be, you know, who God's created them to be. And when they're falling, you're like, how do I get them to see it? And it's to a point, I mean, even Paul says, I'm going to show you lots of things, but at the end of the day, it's up to you to dig in and figure this out too, mm-hmm. because God's given you all the tools and all the knowledge and all the heart to do the work. And yeah. You just got to keep trying and figuring it out, but
mm-hmm. we have to put in the effort. So,
yeah. Yeah.
To meet him halfway.
It's like you say at the beginning of this, like, welcome to the table. I mean, that's what Paul is doing to the Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, you know, da, da, da. And it's what God does to us every day. Welcome mm-hmm. to the table.
I'd be probably more apt to get up and sit at my table in the mornings if Jesus was sitting there. Welcome back to your table. I've been waiting. I heard your alarm go off 3 times. But you made it.
It was a few too many times this morning,
buddy. It's bad when your son gets up and he comes down and he's like, Mom, I heard your alarm. Are you not getting up? No, not today.
No. But thank you.
That wasn't the plan, but now I'm awake. Thanks to you, kid.
Go turn on the TV.
All right. Anything else in 4?
I don't think so.
All right. We can always go back. Let's read 5.
Okay.
That's what I always say to my students. We can always go back. 5, Freedom in Christ is the title of this section. I love that because it's just mm-hmm. that reminder. So, all right. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Just a few things.
Just a couple. You got like the good ones to read. It's like, yes.
Yeah.
You have a whole bunch of mic drop moments.
Yeah. Whole bunch of them just saying like, you can't do these things. So let's just stick with living in Jesus. Okay.
Yep.
Here we go. Easy peasy, right?
You can see Paul's anger come out for them to continue to push circumcision, you know. And that was such a big topic in that time. And you just see, like, you know, if they're demanding you do it, then they need to do it to themselves.
Mm-hmm. I love the it's the end of verse 6. It's just like it's the what is important is faith expressing itself in love.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's not about the laws, it's not about all the things we shouldn't do, although we need to pay attention to those things. Mm-hmm. But it is about faith expressing itself in love. Mm-hmm. And so if we are living as Jesus did on this earth, we're expressing ourselves in his love.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's that freedom that we all crave and seek and want and need in our daily lives, in our earthly, all the above. Mm-hmm. Like, seeking that out is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and, you know, he kind of goes on with in verse 13, you know, he's telling us that, you know, we have freedom through Christ, but he's also telling us, you know, don't let it be an opportunity to go through the flesh. You know, don't just because you were saved and you have that freedom, don't just, you know, kind of do what you want to do, what is automatic to us. But then he goes on to say, you know, that it's all summed up in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, you know. And that's the ultimate key to keep in our minds.
Then he follows it right up. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, where are the different denominations reading that one? Where, you know, where are we?
Yeah.
Where are the people that want to nitpick as far as how we feel women, what women should wear, what men should wear, how mm-hmm. women should behave if they, all these little nuances that are just, you know, or again, it's, are you sprinkled? Are you dunked? Can you have a glass of wine or not? You know, dance or not? You know, you have all of these little, just little itty bitty things that don't matter. So it's like you're setting yourselves against each other. And so then, you know what? You'll be consumed by one another in the end of it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's that love your neighbor as yourself. Do as Jesus did. It wasn't ever accepting everybody. It was loving everybody.
Yes.
And directing them and showing them. You know, he didn't stand on a corner with a Bible and yell at people and let them know they're going to hell if they didn't follow him. You know, he showed, this is, come follow me. Let me show you how to do this. Like, let me show you how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're supposed to do. Let me show you my Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, I don't have to agree with you to love you.
No.
Okay, let's just stop there because that's the answer.
Okay. And done.
But there's also other versions say, but if you're always biting and devouring each other like a lion, like a roar, you know, I wish this could just, maybe this will become my new Facebook post for myself. I'm serious in that aspect because I just have friends who are quarreling to quarrel over quarreling. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Especially as politics always ramps up and my way is the only way and my opinion is the only opinion, even though I want you to be tolerant, I don't have to reciprocate that. And this doesn't mean be tolerant to the point of giving up who you are in Christ. But it, like you said, it does mean loving them like Christ did, even in the midst of my sin, their sin, our sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. You know, it is, you still love everyone. Now, you might have to come out and say, listen, I don't agree with your lifestyle. It's not the way Christ says we should live. And if you have that spirit, like it goes on in chapter 16 and says, if we have the spirit in us, then we're not going to want to go towards that desire of the flesh. Mm-hmm. We're all born, we're all evil, we all are selfish and want to go the way we want to go. But if we have the spirit, it helps us. And so, you know, we have to say, well, you know, God says that's wrong, but I still love you, you know?
Yep.
And I think it's hard too, because there's a lot of people that don't feel like the things that they do are wrong, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's things that I do that I know that God's like, really, Elizabeth? You know, I mean, and I know, and I'm sure that it happens daily. There's times that I even said, really, Elizabeth, to my own self. So I know if I'm saying that, the Lord is probably saying it much more and louder, you know. So, but we forget about that. Like, okay, I might not like do what you do or sin the way you sin, but I sin the way I sin. And mm-hmm. it's still a problem for me.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. And people seem to forget that. They always think everybody else's sin is bigger than theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in today's society, it is hard, because you have either, well, that sin's worse than that sin, or that's, mm-hmm. you know, they put a hierarchy on it, and it's, there is no hierarchy. It is, my gluttony is just the same as, you know, if someone has a problem with alcohol. It's all the same. But then you also have, at the same time, which they had it, you know, the Romans in this time period, it's live the way you want to live, live your own truth, you know, do what pleasures you. And so it's hard to come across, but it comes to, you got to do what Christ tells you to mm-hmm. do. And that's just to say the truth. That's, I am a Christ follower. I'm a sinner,
mm-hmm.
as yeah. we all are. And
yeah, that's why I need Christ.
Yes, exactly. And it, you know, it kind of comes down to, we can't compromise, you know, and can't just go along because it makes life easier. They've still got to hear the truth.
Yep. Agreed. Otherwise, he wouldn't make those words so important, you know, like that we need peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That last one's the hard one. But
amen.
It's like that goes to that gluttony comment you
does.
Made a second
it
ago.
It does.
at least for Leslie. But those things, that there's a reason that that's become, you know, such an important verse to think about and go to for, like, what are the things I'm supposed to do and be? Because that's what Jesus was on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like how
when he was flipping tables.
And I like how that's followed up through, like, the first part where it's talking about what the work of the flesh are, and how it talks, you know, it names off a bunch of them, and it's, you look at it and none of that brings you peace, jealousy, sexual morality, impurity, you know, mm-hmm. all that leads to just breaking people down. And how, if you have the spirit, you have love, you have joy, you have peace. Peace, patience, and how that, it's like, you know, you see the people who have Christ in them and you can see the happiness, you can see the joy, you want to be around those people. That's how we show God's glory. It's not anything in us that brings that out. It's only living through faith in Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And it's why it's so hard sometimes for me to be like, why don't you want to follow him? Do you see what he gives us? Like, come on. Come on.
Yeah. It's got to be harder, I always feel, when you haven't been surrounded with it like your whole life. It's harder to come to Christ as an adult than it was, you know, as a 7-year-old little girl, you know, or boy, you know. But it's easier to have the faith like a child. It's easier to understand because then you don't see that others are opposing you on everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see the world coming at you with, oh, you can do that, but this is a lot more fun. Or,
yeah.
You know, you can do this, but what about this? And how do you know it's real? And how do you, you know? And that's one of the reasons I started looking into, like, you know, apologetics. Let's look at the theology. Let's look at the basics, just so that way I know that part, as well as I know who my Jesus is. I know what he's done for me. I can feel him, but it's harder to share.
Yeah.
What he's done, or how do you bring somebody to Christ? You know, because it's always like, well, I can just tell you how I feel.
Yeah,
you know, I can't. It's nice to. I always like to have the facts with, you know, with everything. It's like with any good book, when you're reading a historical fiction book and it's based on true events, but they, you know, exploit the true events and make them whatever they want them to be. But it's like the Bible. Okay, the Bible is obviously not historical fiction, but the same research that I put into a historical fiction book to see what actually happened should be the same amount of research I put into the Bible to see how we got the books in here, how they became the canon, how did we get this, and how did this all start, and denominations and versions of the Bible. It's just, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think it goes all together with, like, you know, arming yourself kind of deal. You know, it's, you have to have, like you said, the apologetics, the reason. This is the why. This is the why. And it grounds you in Christ. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to bring people to Christ more than if you follow what's the what's those books called?
Commentary?
No.
Like a rule book?
Well, you know. Oh.
Footnotes or Cliff's Notes.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh. No.
You win.
I got it wrong.
But, you know, when it's someone else's words, but what comes out of you and how you can show what Christ has done for you and what he can do for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, you can go ahead with chapter 6 if you'd like.
Chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reasons to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows into his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing of the flesh, who would force you into to be circumcised. And only in order that they may not be persecuted by the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that you may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by the rule, peace and mercy be upon you, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. I mean, he gives us the guideline, you know, anyone caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Because we are all the same. We all sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, and where is it? Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. And then, you know, don't be misled. Like, I like that correlation of you're gonna hear lots of things and lots of people trying to teach,
mm-hmm.
But don't be misled. Look to what the Lord's put before you. Look to what the Holy Spirit's showing you, what Jesus' death shows you, the fulfillment of the prophecy shows you. And, you know, you cannot mock you cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So, think about that. Sometimes when we build something up in our head so much that we make it bigger than it needs to be, whether it's like our ego or a sin or, you know, anything in between that, the Lord's going to eventually show you exactly what's the right thing to be either upset about or joyful about. And when you're on either extreme of it, he's going to be like, no, remember me?
Remember me?
I've got you. I love you. But you don't have to do that.
So as a, just a like fun fact, I guess, when he talks about, and I started looking into this as we go through Acts for church, mm-hmm. but he talks about, look at what large letters I use to write to you. So again, this is just kind of going, this is just fun fact. So
yeah,
it's, he says that there's so much. I didn't realize how much things you don't notice until somebody else points it out. And even the pastor I was listening to on a sermon even pointed it out. Like, so, but it was speculated that Paul did not have the best sight as far.
Oh, okay.
So he had mm-hmm. to write in big letters, or that's why he had other people write his letters for him. Because he couldn't see as well. The pastor I listened to today said that it was likely, well, that he had heard, you know, research or whatever, that it was as a result of the stoning that Paul received. So his eyesight never really fully came back from that. I mean, I've heard that it was just when he lost his sight on the road, you know, when he saw Jesus and everything, that he never fully regained it back, which I don't like that. I'm like, I don't feel like God would do anything half-heartedly. Like, he's not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it wasn't the best before, and so God just provided what he had before, maybe,
mm-hmm.
I could see. But I'm like, even still, I feel like God would be like, here you go. You can have it all back, you know. But, you know, or also with the large letters – and this was, I liked this too, is that maybe he was being like, certain things were larger than others when he was writing it, because he was trying to make sure that we understood that they were important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. See him, the fruits of the spirit are like large letters. Like, this is what you need to focus on with gentleness, y'all, you know, with
underline,
you know,
four times.
Exactly. You know, I mean, there's just so many things like, in a lot of those mic drop moment chapters that it's like, mm-hmm. are those the ones that are written like a full page, or is that just his handwriting? Because let's be honest, everybody's handwriting is different sizes, different legibility. You know, like my dad writes very neatly, but it's all caps, you know, and I know that's there's men that do that, but still take up two lines and they write all caps,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you have mine that sometimes I can't even read my own writing because I'm just scrolling too much. Like I'm just writing too quickly and I'm like, oh shoot, I don't know what that says.
That's my problem. I write too fast and it comes. Yeah. Yeah, because there's times my handwriting's wonderful, and then there's times I'm like, what the heck did I just write? I don't even know what that means.
When I was doing my occupational therapy internship in a school system, I was told I needed occupational therapy for my handwriting. So I said, it's a little too late now.
I love that. Well, I also just, I err on the side when I see things like that. It's kind of like, how many times does the Bible say, do not be afraid? How many times does it say, I am with you always? How many times, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to show you guys and prove a point. Like, there's a reason that I write no in big letters.
Or right, yeah. Yeah.
Like, because I think he understands that we're all hard-headed. And he's trying to also erase, like we talked about earlier in 1-3, and now even in this one, like, he's trying to erase years and years of following the law, right? Like, and... this is, I'm just trying to make sure you see this again. Mm-hmm. This is what it means. You know, like, it's, I call it the Holy Spirit 2x4 in my life. Like, how many times am I going to smack you, Leslie, before you actually get the point? We're still working on what that number is with the Holy Spirit, but you know.
7 times 70.
I'm 70 again.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just to, and repeat.
And see.
I like Galatians. It's like one of those, like if you see disagreements or you have to do it this way or you have to do that or you have to, you know, go back and follow the rituals and the trend. It's just like you just want to hand them, like, read Galatians. Just read Galatians.
Mm-hmm. This is what I say when people I work with get caught up. I mean, and I love tradition and I love the things we've always done, right? You know, like, I mean, I like that kind of stuff, especially like in a church setting, because there's a reason that it's worked and or that you enjoy it or that it's not. But there's also this thing that goes, no, let's try this new way because this is what the Lord's put before us to try, because it might help those other people to come in, not just the same over and over again. But it's hard to not get just stuck in the things that you know work or the things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, keep trying, try different things. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying.
Yeah.
Keep seeking, keep sharing, keep loving.
Yeah. No, then that's, you know, that's it. That's Galatians is a great one. Like I said earlier, it's good when you have to battle the legalism side of Christianity, of the non-salvation issues that people want to bring at the church, bring at, you know, Christians. And it's like, that's not what this is about. Like, you can't take away who Christ is and what he's done with what you feel like should go coincide with what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's not, if you can't show me in the Bible where it says that, you know, and I know, and again, I know a lot of people can back things up, but let's look at, then that also goes back to, can we look at that time frame? Because a lot of these letters were also written to for certain situations. So there was things going on that we also need to know. And that's, again, that's researching the history, that's researching the, you know, what was going on, like what prompted Paul to write this letter and say these things? Why would that be a focus? Or, you know, but let's just bring it back. Like, let's go look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Who was Jesus? Mm-hmm. What did he say? And if he didn't say it or live it, then, you know, the rest is just schematics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. And I like how Paul always ends his letters too with, you know, some phrase of may the grace of the Lord be with you always. Because mm-hmm. he just doesn't want him to forget about that grace too. That's another big Paul thing is you're justified through Christ and through his death. And that's where you find your freedom. But you also have all this grace. So don't forget about that and share it with everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's definitely a good reminder for my own self. I'll give everybody grace. I just don't give it to myself.
Amen. There should be a whole, there's probably a, oh, no, there's a whole book of the Bible on that. Anyway. yeah. It's hard though. It's easier to, I mean, it, you know, it says it all in the Bible. It's easier to always see either other people's sins or other people's goodness than it is to see your own.
Mm-hmm.
It just, so. But then God gives us good people around us to show us.
Yes, absolutely.
And to love on us when we don't love on ourselves. So.
All right, well, I think that's that. So we will see you guys next time.